Module 4, Getting Paid. If the first one is free, the second has the fee. Now, I've said this phrase several times already throughout this book, but let's dive deeper into its meaning and how it should benefit you when applied. If I found or had an opportunity to speak but was told there was no speaker budget, then I might consider that pro bono waived fee speech as a marketing opportunity. I will not pass up on an opportunity to speak as long as the speech is in front of my target audience, Module 3, and I am available within a reasonable amount of time. Referrals and spin-off inquiries will result if my presentation is good enough and delivers the impact that it should. The challenge when agreeing to a pro bono speaking engagement is what you will do if a conflicting paid opportunity comes along. For me, I do not agree to pro bono opportunities more than 2 months out. It is very, very bad business to cancel a speaking gig, whether paid or unpaid. However, sometimes the circumstances might be too tempting to pass up the opportunity, especially when you're starting out. If you do agree to speak without payment, I recommend providing a statement or clause in your contract that simply informs the meeting planner of this dilemma and how you will handle it. When they read the clause, they might change their mind and creatively find funds for you. Moreover, as I've shared already, there are many ways to monetize value and future speaking gigs from a pro bono speech. Not only are you gaining experience and being visible so others know about you, but you are adding a new client for your client summary, building contacts, adding testimonials, getting video, selling books, selling your program, if available, receiving advertising space in their publication, and more. Is that not what you want, regardless if you are getting paid? The answer should be yes. Speaker tip: always provide a speaking contract, whether paid or unpaid, and include clauses to ensure all parties are in agreement for what is being exchanged and expected. If you plan to have a professional photographer or videographer present, include that in the contract. If you plan to sell books, include it. If the client has agreed to provide you with a testimonial, include that. I know speakers who claim they would never speak pro bono. These same folks wonder why they're not getting referrals and desired results in their speaking business 6 months later. Any successful speaker who says that they do not speak for free is likely not telling the truth. Remember, speakers speak. It is impossible to get a referral for speaking if you aren't speaking. Remember, 90% of my speaking business comes from direct referral and people who have seen me speak. Okay, I get it, Kevin, but I cannot speak for free all the time. I need to get paid. You're exactly correct, and I understand. This is where the association model approach that I referenced in Module 3 comes in practice. What I love about associations is that once you get to the conference level, whether that be state, regional, national, or international, they likely pay very well and at the $5,000 to $15,000 range. An experienced conference organizer or meeting planner knows that a good speaker costs money and they have a budget to pay speakers through attendee registration fees. As you may have felt while listening to Module 3, building your speaking business to get to the state or national level does not happen overnight. Speaking to at least one, if not a few, local association chapters of your target association will serve you well. Your reputation will precede you, and they will be contacting you because they know you are good and can deliver when it counts most, their state conference. Once you speak at their state or regional level and deliver well, then expect your next level to be at the national and international conference. Once you are in with an industry, you earn the speaking fee desired, and you can continually increase it. Once I have keynoted two different state conferences for a particular association, my speaking fees increased 25%. From your work in Module 3, you know your target association. With that association in mind, write below three different state conferences where you can set a goal for speaking. Take all the time that you need, write it in your speaker notebook or on the worksheets I've provided. Hit pause. Now, with your target association in mind, write below at least one of its national conferences where you can set a goal for speaking. Take all the time that you need, write it in your speaker notebook or in the worksheets I've provided, hit pause. Our next segment of Module 4 is, how do you know when to charge for a speech? I have four simple criteria that help me quickly determine my speaking fee, sometimes called a speaking honorarium. Number one, is this person contacting me as compared to me contacting them? Number two, has this person seen me speak or been referred by someone who has? Number three, is this speaking opportunity at a conference where attendees pay to attend? And number four, is this a new industry that I want to explore? If the answer is yes to the first three questions, then my speaking proposal will require my full standard speaking fee. If they are contacting me, have seen me speak, or been referred to me by someone who has seen me speak, and are charging a registration fee, then I have leverage. The only reason I would consider discounting my speaking fee is if they were a new industry that I wanted to tap into and they were upfront about having a limited budget, and I confirmed this through my own homework. I would not want to risk losing the speaking opportunity to get inside a new, lucrative industry that was of interest to me. Here's an example. Several years ago, I had spoken locally for a CPA group. I had discounted my speaking fee because they were upfront about not having the local budget available to pay my full honorarium. This was also a new industry for me at the time. I agreed to speak, but I ensured they understood they were getting a one-time discount and that my fee had to be confidential. The speaking gig went extremely well, and the meeting planner just so happened to be the individual responsible for finding speakers at several other regional conferences later that year. They asked me to speak at two of those conferences and paid my full fee. Those opportunities put me in front of more than 500 CPAs throughout several states, which led into additional bookings as well. During one of those regional conferences, I was approached about speaking at one particular state conference. They were upfront about not paying their speakers. Instead, they tried to convince me that my payment was the exposure. However, knowing they met all three of my personal criteria for charging my full speaking fee, I was reluctant to waive my fee. Before responding back to them, I did my homework and looked online to find the website for this conference. I was pleased to see that they were charging $499 per attendee. I delicately responded back to their inquiry and thanked them for contacting me. I included my speaker one page, a link to my website, and a sample video from the regional conference they had seen me present. I then indicated that I always do my best to work with reasonable budgets. However, my normal daily speaking fee was blank amount. I also informed them that my honorarium included a full day of availability, additional breakout sessions, 50 complimentary copies of my book, and an unlimited ebook download for all attendees. I front-loaded value for them. I did not know it at the time, but my response and additional value also stood out amongst my speaker competition, the other speakers they were considering. They were asking me for a keynote presentation, and the proposal they received back included options for a whole lot more. When they realized I could facilitate additional speaking sessions, it meant less work for them to find additional speakers. Also, by offering my complimentary book, this added value for attendees. The final result was that we negotiated a speaking fee pleasing to me that was $8,500 more than what they initially stated they had. Interesting. In your conversations and in your contracts, you must state a confidentiality clause about your speaking fee. Meeting planners and conference organizers talk, understandably, and they should. But your fee is conditional on circumstances that you determine, not them. When your fee is confidential, only you and the conference organizer or meeting planner know what and if you are paid. This is extremely important, not only in your decision to discount any type of fee, but also for future speaking inquiries. All inquiries and conversations about speaking fee are only and strictly had by you. Here's a speaker tip. Have a daily speaking fee. Speakers are not hourly workers. We are being compensated as experts in specific content knowledge that we've crafted and built over a lifetime. Moreover, whether you are speaking for 60 minutes or 6 hours, your full day is booked. Unless you are speaking in town, it would be impossible for you to be somewhere else on that same day. Therefore, establish a daily speaking fee for yourself and encourage the conference organizer or planner to utilize you as much as possible on that day. Organizers expect speakers to arrive and leave quickly. However, when you express interest in and options for maximizing your time, they appreciate that. This reflects positively on you as a professional speaker. I have been approached on numerous occasions by both attendees and organizers and told they noticed and appreciated me being so visible before and after my keynote at a conference. Guess where that visibility leads to? You guessed right. More speaking bookings. We'll discuss this more in Module 5. When you speak at conferences, offer upfront to facilitate extra sessions as educational breakouts. Conference organizers and meeting planners love this, even if there's not a need. Offering yourself to do more not only front-loads your value, but also makes them aware you have additional programs. Facilitating additional sessions is beneficial to you because it allows you to be in front of more people at the conference as well. I cannot count how many times this strategy has worked for me and helped secure additional paid speaking engagements. If my keynote presentation happens to be before the educational sessions, then I know those who attend the post-keynote session liked me, enjoyed my presentation, and are excellent prospects to hire me for speaking at their company. If my keynote presentation follows the breakout sessions, then I use the pre-keynote sessions to get my speaking juices flowing and ask lots of open-ended questions to really get to know my audience better and the challenges they specifically face. I'll incorporate as much of this last-minute intel into my keynote presentation later on. If it were up to me, though, I always recommend a breakout session after the keynote. Here's another speaker tip. Offer something extra for attendees. As stated above, I offer complimentary copies of my books with my full speaking honorarium. If I choose to discount my fee, then I include fewer books. What I love about the arrangement with my book printer is that I can tailor books for the group bringing me to speak. This allows me to offer a welcome letter on the inside page of the book with their logo. This personal touch goes a long, long way for both the conference organizer or meeting planner hiring me, as well as attendees. Having a personalized, tangible takeaway yields golden results later on. Providing a book is the equivalent of them taking you home and talking about you with others. We will talk more about the book in the bonus section at the conclusion of this book. To see complimentary samples from my customized books, visit paidtospeak.biz/worksheets. And remember, the password is paidtospeak. Now, of these speaker tips I just mentioned, which can work best for you? Now's your opportunity to identify how you can add value to your speaking fee by offering more than just your speech. Take all the time that you need, write answers down in your speaker notebook or on the worksheets I've provided. Hit pause. Our next segment of Module 4 will be, how do you know what to charge for a speech? You should now have a better understanding of when to charge, but how do you know what to charge for speaking? Meaning, what will be your standard speaking fee? This can be a tough question to answer because part of the answer lies in a sense of self-worth and you feeling ready. And if we're honest with ourselves, there's also a bit of ego attached to setting speaking fee. Of course, we all want to be $10,000 to $20,000 speakers, but are we there yet? What do speakers in the higher fee range do differently than speakers charging $1,000, $2,500, or $5,000 per speech? Why do industries pay speakers differently? What is the difference between industries? What does the target association that you identified in Module 3 pay speakers? If you do not know, how can you find out? These are all questions I will be helping you answer in this module. One question to ask yourself is, what does the target industry or association that you selected in Module 3 typically pay a speaker? If you do not know, what are ways you can find out? If I were working with you as your coach through this book, this would be an excellent in-depth conversation for us to talk through and help ensure you were setting your speaking fee correctly up front and out of the gate. I could also help you know what your selected industries and the associations that belong to them typically pay speakers, if anything. What you don't want to do is select an industry that can't afford to pay you. Although I do have a standard speaking fee with a three-tiered approach, not every group has the ability to pay me the same. There are some groups I know can charge more, and there are some groups I know I will need to discount my speaking fee. Within the same week, I have spoken pro bono, presented another gig for $3,500, and presented another for $10,000. What I have discovered is that speaking fee is based on both what your selected industry and event can afford and the psychology attached to it. Let's focus on industry first. Let's say, for example, you want to speak at colleges. Unless you're a celebrity or a mainstream author, comedian, actor, or political pundit, your speaking fees will range between $2,500 to $5,000 per speech. These speaking engagements will be for student events as well as groups I previously listed in Module 3. Not the marketing club or the political science club, for example. Those clubs will never have the ability to pay you unless they are hosting an event such as a conference and they have budget from the Student Government Association to pay you. Speaker tip: if you plan to speak to college students, like I did when I first started in speaking, always focus on events such as conferences where they need speakers. Review Module 3 for refreshed details. If you desire to speak to community colleges or small business development centers, then know upfront that these groups typically have much smaller budgets. Do not expect $5,000. In fact, expect $500 at best. You simply need to know parameters. Some of these groups can pay a higher fee, though. Since I earned a doctorate degree, have experience working in student affairs for nearly 15 years, and have spoken for over 400 colleges and universities, I can charge more than most speakers in the college industry. Often when I speak for a college, I know how to help them find more money to pay my full speaking fee. In short, I help them block book me and collaborate with other campus departments and other local institutions. I can also speak to faculty, staff, and students, so I might recommend they utilize me for a faculty staff event in the morning and a student event in the afternoon or evening. When I combine a variety of groups, I combine their budgets too. Make sense? I am not suggesting you not speak to groups with smaller budgets. Instead, I'm recommending that you be realistic and aware of their budget limitations and understand what fee they can afford. Otherwise, you will constantly be frustrated. To know all this, you will need to do some homework. Or just schedule a call with me so I can help you and talk this through. While some professional organizations and industries simply do not have the budget to pay speakers, others commonly do. Banking, healthcare, technology, legal, national associations, government groups, etc. The challenge is not about selecting a high-paying industry and telling them what your speaking fee is, hoping they book you. The challenge is sincerely being an expert thought leader in their industry so you can help them and their employees solve problems and increase their bottom line profit in some way. On a few rare occasions, I have been nickel and dime to speak for high profile companies, but not by associations at their conferences. This goes back to the structure and events concepts that I explained to you in Module 3. My top recommendation for you is knowing how to verify associations and then focusing on the events for one specific target association at a time. Now let's talk about psychology. There is both an internal psychology for you and perceived psychology by others as it relates to speaking fee. And this fascinates me. Envision you have a speaking inquiry for a conference keynote. Whether it's the meeting planner, conference organizer, or member of the planning committee who contacted you, they will very likely compare you with other speakers. Upon their inquiry, you send them your information, professional response, including your speaker one page, website, link to your demo video, and wait patiently. As they begin to review proposals, they narrow down to the three speaker finalists, and you're one of them. They are not sure whom to select, though. All speakers seem like a great fit. One speaker's fee is $10,000, another is $6,500, and your fee is $3,500. What do you feel they might be thinking based on comparing speaking fee of these three speaker finalists? I can guarantee you that a thought held by all of them and likely spoken will be, well, I really like the $3,500 speaker, but I wonder why they are charging so much less. Maybe they're not as good. Let's go with the middle speaker for $6,500 and buy some of their books too. We've budgeted for it. This psychology may not make sense to you at first, but think about the scenario from the conference organizer or meeting planner perspective. Even with budget in mind, they're always looking for the best speaker. Your speaking fee will be a factor they consider, and your amount and how you position your proposal will be perceived as the quality of you and your speech. Here's an example. I discounted a speech for a high school athletic conference several years back. In transparency, they paid me $2,500, which I was pleased with because it was a huge conference, a new industry, and it was held at the Atlantis Resort in the Bahamas. Of course, I would have wanted to charge more, but the event was less than 5 weeks away. I felt the cost-benefit analysis of me agreeing to speak weighed higher than not speaking and hoping to get booked by another group 6 months away. So I agreed to do the speaking gig. Remember, speakers speak. After the presentation, one of the adult chaperones approached me and we spoke for several minutes. I will never forget the exact words coming from her mouth. I'd like to book you for my company. Do you speak for professional groups? And if so, what's your speaking fee? I stood there like a deer in headlights. My corporate fee? I felt like an idiot because I did not know what to say. At that time, I had not done any corporate speaking. She asked, "You do speak for corporate groups, don't you? What is your corporate fee?" "Oh, most certainly," I replied. Note, I should have replied, "Absolutely. Tell me more about your event." Working through my unprofessional stutter, I said, "$5,500 is my speaking fee with corporate clients." I threw that number out like a dart in the dark. I had no clue what her industry could afford to pay a speaker. "$5,500?" she confirmed. "Okay, send me a contract for $5,500 at this address, and we'll find a date that works for your schedule," handing me her business card. She then said, "In the future, though, you might need to raise your speaking fee because some people in my industry may not think you're as good as I know you are based on that amount. Luckily, I just saw you speak. I would have paid whatever you told me." Oh, I wanted to charge her double after saying that, but I knew I couldn't and I had to honor what I told her. This situation is a perfect example of knowing your industry and the perceived psychology that is attached to a speaking fee. Be prepared. In this example, if I told her my speaking fee was $10,000 or even more, she would have been happy paying that higher fee. I easily missed out on an extra $5,000 or more that day. Some lessons are expensive. Here's a speaker tip. When you quote speaking fee, always emphasize that your speaking fee starts at blank amount. If you are submitting a three-tiered speaking proposal, you will list option one at base price, option two at a higher middle price, and option three at a premium price. Think of it like purchasing a car. Most versions have a standard style, sport version, and the luxury model. If groups receiving your speaking proposal have a higher budget than what you quoted, they will likely go with option 2 or 3. Plus, you got the speaking gig and did not leave thousands on the table like I did in the previous example. Make sense? You do not want to overprice yourself either, though. This is a delicate balance and something you must learn how to navigate around. Before I ever quote a speaking fee or send a customized speaking proposal, I state to them both in discussion and in their proposal that I do my best to work with any reasonable budget. That way, at least, they know there might be some wiggle room if needed. The ones who can pay do not ask for wiggle room, though. They pay the full amount. Other professional speakers might disagree with me on this. That's fine, because I likely will get their next speaking gig due to their ego-inspired refusal to work with a client's budget. I have earned speaking business and beat out fellow professional speakers, even speakers I felt were a better fit for that event, on numerous occasions for this reason alone. If the conference organizer or meeting planner feels the speaker will not budge on price, they will not waste their time to negotiate. Similar to the analogy I shared earlier of buying a car, this process is akin to buying a home. There is usually negotiation regardless of list price. A speaking honorarium often needs to be negotiated so that both parties feel as though they win. If I am available on a requested date, would I really want to turn down $6,500 even though I proposed $8,000? Or turn down $9,500 even though I offered $12,000? Of course not. Would you? Remember that your speaking fee carries a perception of your credibility and quality of you and your program. As long as you have done your homework to know your industry and are clear how to verify your target association, you should be setting speaking fee correctly. Do not undervalue yourself, but don't overprice yourself either. You can grow into a higher speaking fee. Be realistic, leave your ego at the door. Contact me for help and to discuss. Setting speaking fee is a paramount decision for you that will greatly impact your speaking business. So reflect on the following questions. Write them down in your speaker notebook or on the worksheets I've provided. How much do or would you currently charge for a speech right now? What would you like for this fee to increase to within 1 year? What do you envision this fee increasing to within 3 years? Take all the time you need. Hit pause. Our next segment of Module 4 is Proposals, Contracts, and Invoices. It is now time to create templates for your speaking proposal, contract agreement, and invoice. In the book, I share several screenshots of my own documents. If you visit paytospeak.biz/worksheets, you can see some of these images. You can also access the full Word templates inside the vault so that you can create your own. If you are working with me through this book or you decide to now, I will help you create your document templates so that you are more likely to get the speaking engagement and maximize your speaking fee. You can do this alone, and I hope it's correct, but you don't have to. I'm here to help. Don't leave thousands on the table. Let's first review a typical process for how speaking gigs are commonly booked. Step 1. Speaking inquiry arrives, or you make outreach and they respond. Step 2. You respond and set up a conference call to discuss their needs. Note, I've created a phone script for you that you can download at paytospeak.biz/worksheets. Step 3. After successful call, you send a customized 3-tiered proposal. Step 4. After proposal terms are agreed upon, you send contract agreement and invoice. Step 5. 50% of your speaking fee is paid in advance to block the date and confirm your speaking engagement. So let's dive into sample step 1. The speaking inquiry arrives, or you make outreach and they respond. Hi, Kevin. I received your information from my colleague, so-and-so. She had wonderful things to say about you and her experience in listening to your presentation at the blank event. I was inquiring about having you speak at our annual Business School Awards Symposium. The date is November 12th from 6 to 8 p.m. Please let me know if you are available and whatever fee you might have for your speaking. Looking forward to hearing from you, Kim. Sample step 2. You respond and set up a conference call to discuss their needs. Hi, Kim. Great to hear from you. I would be interested in talking with you about this event and learning more about some of your needs. Would a time window this Thursday morning or Friday morning be convenient for you? Also, when you reply, if you don't mind answering a few quick questions, is this a request for a keynote? Would you like for me to present more than just one presentation? I'll be happy to share my speaking fee with you. I do my best to work with reasonable budgets. What is your speaker budget or range for this event? Anything else you'd like for me to know before we speak? Thank you, Kevin. Note, this is just a sample response and will likely be tweaked each time depending on the information I already have. My response to them helps me obtain very critical information before our phone conversation. Even though I will be following my phone script during the call, I want to know as much as I can before it takes place. I never just jump on a phone call unprepared. I also never send a speaking proposal or tell them my fee until after we speak on the phone, or at least I know their speaker budget. By asking the right questions and knowing more about the event itself, whether through conversation, by my own research, or both, I will have a firm grasp on their speaker budget, whether they are charging attendees, audience size, outcomes they expect, etc. Speaker tip, have a proper inquiry form on your website which asks the right questions up front so that you don't have to. Visit my website for a sample, kevincsnyder.com/hire-kevin. Now, during the call itself, it's always best to keep them talking. Usually the person who talks first and the most loses. The best phrase that works in my discussions is, so tell me more about... At some point in the conversation, they will either ask you about your speaking fee or you need to confirm what their speaker budget is. You should already have a sense of their speaker budget and know what types of speakers they have hired in the past from doing your homework. I prefer to be the one who brings up speaking fee, the elephant in the room. If I am bringing up fee, I keep it simple by requesting, tell me about your speaker budget for this event. Even if they have already responded to the question about fee via email, I ask again for confirmation. I then shut up and listen. Whatever next comes out of their mouth will determine what my proposal looks like, which I will send to them afterward. I have lost speaking engagements because I didn't know a prospective client's budget before submitting a proposal and either under or overpriced myself. I've also lost out on thousands of dollars because I underpriced myself. Point is, it is imperative to know their budget in advance. Do your homework. Ask the right questions. Confirm it. When the fee issue is being discussed, I tell them I have a daily fee with a range based on several options they may like to consider. They will receive the proposal after the phone call to review those options, which could include availability of additional breakouts, purchasing quantities of books, including personalized books. To see a sample of this, visit paytospeak.biz/worksheets. Also, I could include unlimited Amazon ebook downloads. I could include pre-event welcome videos to help boost registrations, etc. The key is for the prospective client to know that your proposal will have options. Option 1 should be your standard fee. Option 2 is a few thousand higher, and option 3 should be near double option 1. Sample step 3. After your successful call, because you followed my phone script, you sent a customized 3-tiered speaking proposal. Each proposal is unique based on the conversation you had with the prospective client. Your ultimate goal is to have the proposal reflect your conversation and meet their needs. When they read it, you want them thinking, wow, this is exactly what we're looking for. Of course it will be because you customized the template for them based on your discussion. Most speakers do not do this, which is why you should. I share sample proposals I've personally used as well as templates for you to create your own inside The Vault. If you choose to work with me as your speaker coach, I'd be happy to review your speaking proposal, contract agreement, and invoice to ensure you are including all the correct elements and positioning yourself properly. This step is extremely important because if you do not position yourself properly or do not set your fee range correctly, you either miss out on the speaking engagement or leave thousands on the table. I did this many times early on because I did not know how to properly follow this process. On the worksheets page, you can view a sample image of the tiered options that I currently use in my speaking proposal. Visit paytospeak.biz/worksheets. After sending them your speaking proposal, ask for confirmation they received it and indicate that your availability could also change. This will initiate a sense of urgency for them to make a decision sooner than later. In my proposals and contracts, I emphasize that I only block out dates once the speaking agreement is signed. This process is similar to buying a house. If you do not need to follow up, simply inquire via email or phone. If they decide not to go forward with you as the speaker, try to find out why. That information and reasoning will help you in the future. Thinking positive, though, let's envision a scenario where they select you as the speaker for their event and go with option 2, which includes your keynote, an extra breakout session, and some books. Congratulations! Now all you need to do is follow up with the contract agreement and invoice, and perhaps write the book. Sample step 4. After proposal terms and options agreed upon, contract agreement and invoice are submitted. Once your proposal arrangements are agreed upon, the contract agreement outlines and confirms all details. Nothing should be a surprise, and expectations should be transparently clear. You include everything from date and location to speaking session titles, when deadline dates are, fee payments, additional add-ons, travel, confidentiality, etc. My contract is 4 simple pages in total and has been vetted by attorneys. I keep it simple to be readable and clear for planners and organizers. If the meeting planner or conference organizer has their own contract requiring your signage, read it carefully and make sure you understand it and agree to the terms. Important though, still submit your own contract to them as well. It will ensure you get paid when you expect to be, not when they tell you. I've had clients send me contracts before that are not in my best interest as a speaker. In fact, I recently reviewed a contract that contained a clause literally stating they would pay me if they had sufficient funds to do so. I struck through that clause and inquired whether they had funds. Even though they assured me they did have funds and it was just legal jargon, I asked them to remove that clause, to send me a new contract, and also sign my contract, which included a 50% deposit. And as you can imagine, you need to be delicate doing this. On the worksheets webpage, you can view page 1 from one of my sample contract agreements. And as I've mentioned several times, you have access to full samples of contracts and invoices and other templates inside the vault. Invoices. I send the invoice along with a contract agreement. The invoice is the bill statement and often what most companies need to process payment. The invoice is different than a contract agreement for this reason. My invoices now require 50% deposit, non-refundable, upfront to confirm booking agreement and block out dates on my calendar. Most groups will pay this. In fact, it makes you appear more professional. If they cancel on you, it's their dime and not yours. Of course, you hold yourself accountable to that date as well, even if a higher paying gig comes through for the same day. To view a sample invoice, again, visit the worksheets page on paytospeak.biz/worksheets. When I first started speaking, I made lots of mistakes. One of those was not having a signed contract. About 1 month before an event took place, the person who had hired me for speaking took a new job with a different company. The new person who replaced them decided they no longer wanted to coordinate the event where I was supposed to provide a half-day training. They sincerely apologized, but it was my fault for neither having a signed agreement nor collecting a deposit. Either or both would have prevented them from canceling. And to make matters even more frustrating, I had another speaking inquiry for that same date, which I had previously turned down because I was not available. Another time I made a very poor rookie decision was when I booked the speaking engagement and then referred it to someone else once a higher paying engagement came through. I did not think the client would mind, but they did. In fact, they were extremely upset with me and asked for the deposit back. No one got paid in this situation. Speaker tip: when something negative happens, don't ever allow it to happen again. As my dad told me one time, "Son, some lessons are expensive. All you can do is learn from them so they don't get repeated." Sample step 5. 50% of your speaking fee is paid in advance to block your speaking date and confirm your presentation. As I've previously shared, earlier on in my speaking career, I did not collect deposits. To make a long story short, another example is when 2 weeks before one particular speaking gig was to take place, the client canceled on me. "Not enough registrants for the conference," they wrote. I started collecting deposits after this, and I've never had a problem since. So let's review the entire process one final time. Step 1. Speaking inquiry arrives, or you make outreach and they respond. Step 2. You respond and set up a conference call to discuss their needs. Remember, you've got my phone script. Step 3. After successful call, you send a customized 3-tiered proposal. Step 4. After proposal terms are agreed upon, you send contract agreement and invoice. Step 5. 50% of your speaking fee is paid in advance to block the date and confirm your speaking engagement. If you are working through this book and completing the module activities, you should have inquiries arriving by this point. Responding to inquiries is easy. It's getting inquiries to originate that can be time sensitive. If you are not receiving inquiries by this point, we should probably look into this together. Reach out to me. You should have your response email templates, outreach email templates, phone script, speaking proposals, contract agreements, and invoices ready as soon as possible. Not having them ready will cause you delay in responding to inquiries and unprepared when an opportunity arises needing your quick turnaround. I also feel that not having the documents ready is akin to you telling the universe that you're just not ready yet. On the contrary, having them ready means you are ready and you'll be sending out that available for hire energy vibe. I shared this in module 2 as well. Be ready for an opportunity. Here's a true story. Earlier this year, I was contacted at 4:17 p.m. by a meeting planner to speak at a major conference event. For some odd reason, she needed a contract and invoice by 5 p.m. that day because the planning committee was making their decision that evening at 6 p.m. I didn't ask too many questions when she told me up front, "We'll pay your full fee. I need it today, though." So the question is for you, before continuing onward, do you have your response email template, outreach email template, phone script, speaking proposal, contract agreement, and invoice ready? If so, great. If no, this is your moment to do so. Do not continue onward until those items are complete. Hit pause. Module 4 review. In this module, we have described in detail the importance of speaking pro bono and how to monetize those engagements, how to grow into larger speaking engagements, criteria for establishing your speaking fee and when and what to charge, understanding what your target industry can afford, the psychology of your speaking fee and how to position yourself, the process from inquiry to proposal to contract and invoice, having templates ready for inquiries, proposals, contracts, and invoices. If you have completed all the reflective questions, then congratulations. You are ready for Module 5, getting consistent paid bookings. However, if any portions are missing, I highly recommend you go back and complete them now. If you don't have time to do it right, when will you have time to do it again?